Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
New York City, let's get it, man. Let's get the money. KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Battling the sinuses and allergies and fall allergies. I don't know. I come back from Mexico. This air is hitting different. At least it's raining now. When I was in Mexico, there was like wildfires or something. It was like an alert. I was like, oh, at least I'm dodging that. Somebody on Twitter just hit me. They said for allergies, stay away from gluten and yellow number 5 and 6. Is that a real thing? 888-808-1019. I definitely eat gluten every day. Yellow number 5 and 6. Someone was just telling us not to give my son like red dye number 5 and 6. I gave him some Fruity Loops and he was tweaking. And they were like, yo, there's like something in like red 10 that does that to babies as a kid. I'm like, the more you know. We're supposed to talk sports. Okay. Daniel Jones. I do want to get in the Daniel Jones conversation right away, but I think it's important to go off of Marco's update and the little bit of audio that you just heard and play Daniel Jones's prepared statement. Before we do it, I'm watching the 6 p.m. Sports Center and Elle Duncan. She's got a segment called Taking the L, play on words. And they just roast Daniel Jones and the Giants. The first thing she says is, why do you have a prepared written statement? Didn't you go to Duke? Can't you just speak? But like, I mean, there is something to it. I think I heard Evan and Tiki talking about how, you know, most people will not hear Daniel Jones. They will just read articles or read Twitter or read Instagram and get the quotes in little bites. Let's play a good amount of his statement. We don't have to play the whole thing, but this is literally Daniel Jones signing off as your quarterback, bidding farewell. It's kind of sad, man. We're in week 12. Run it, Connor.
All right, wrote something down just to make sure I say it the right way. Let's see. The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true, and I'm extremely grateful to the Mara and Tisch families for the chance to play here. The Giants are truly a first-class organization, and I have nothing but genuine respect and appreciation for the people who have built it and who helped carry on that tradition. I've met so many special people and created relationships that will truly last a lifetime. Thank you to all my teammates, coaches, and staff that have done so much for me these past 6 years. There have been some great times, but of course, we all wish there had been more of those. I take full responsibility for my part in not bringing more wins. No one wanted to win more games worse than me, and I gave everything I had on the field and in my preparation. Of course, this season has been disappointing for all, and of course, I wish I could have done more. I'm 100% accountable for my part. I did not play well enough consistently enough to help the team get the results. The reality of the NFL is it's hard to win games and requires consistent performance from everyone involved. We didn't do that well enough, so the idea to change something happens, and I understand.
All right.
I love the game.
Right. I think
I love
we get
being
it.
Part
I think
of the team.
Get it. This is sad, man. This is sad. And especially, you know, his personality and his tone and just hearing, like, I don't know who helped him prepare this, but it is sad. This is just sports, entertainment, football, NFL football. Like, He's not, you know, I don't want to compare it to anything else. He's not dying. Literally, like, he made $108 million, and I feel for the guy, but it's like, this was a lot. The Giants are about to lose. And that's a good thing. There's a mock draft that came out today from Matt Miller where he has the New York Giants picking number one overall, right? Has the Giants actually being able to do what they should have been able to do last year, but they won too many games? The Giants being able to trade with who they expect to be the number one pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just paid Trevor Lawrence, and then they'll select Shedeur Sanders to be their quarterback of the future. I'm down with that, actually. 888-808-1019. I'm down with that because, one, I like Deion primetime, of course. How could you not? And Shedeur is like that. The Giants never have black quarterbacks. Tyrod was literally like a, you know, Tyrod was like, I think, the first to, like, play a certain amount of games. I know Geno was here years ago, but, like, I would love to see Shedeur Sanders in New York being the guy. He's ready for it. He's built for it. And I think Deion would be more supportive. I think people think Deion's an old dummy. One, Deion is probably going to stay in Colorado. If you just saw the commit that they just got a kid to switch his commitment from USC, Julian Lewis. So they have the quarterback at Colorado to replace Shedeur. I don't know. I don't think Deion Sanders is going to come in here and get in the way. I just think that he wants his son to be in a good spot, and that's a good spot. Like, Archie Manning wanted his son to be in a good spot. 888-808-1019. I see your calls coming in. Mark, out on Long Island, I will go to you, but let's play this next from Daniel Jones. This is the part that got me, and it didn't get me choked up, but it gave me pause, and I had to think about it. And I'll tell you what I think about it after we play it. They asked Daniel Jones about the support of his teammates. Obviously, you know, Dexter Lawrence came out and said he's QB1. He's the best quarterback on the roster. And then some anonymous quotes came out about, you know, this being BS and this, that, and the other. And Daniel Jones spoke on it. Let's hear what Daniel Jones had to say that got him a little bit choked up, a little bit emotional today.
Like I said, I create a lot of great relationships here with the guys here, and definitely appreciate the support. But it's about the team and what's best for the team. And I know the guys will be ready to go. I know Tommy will be ready to go this week.
Yeah, like that sucks, yo. Like when he's talking about it's about the team and what's best for the team, it's his team. He's the starting quarterback of the team. He's led them into battle. And, like, to think that they're going out there without him, like, that's where I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, it's not about the money. Daniel Jones, like, if Daniel Jones could hear my voice right now, Daniel Jones, use this as motivation. Use this as absolute gasoline fuel. Use it like that feeling you got up there, realizing that they don't want you to lead your teammates that you built relationships and bonds with, a guy like Dexter Lawrence you were drafted with, like, use that to drive you insane in a good way. Use that in your off-season work, lifting weights, film study, your preparation to be a better quarterback, and wherever you land, like, remember what happened here. And, of course, he was accountable. So, like, let's say that first. Like, he was accountable. He said he didn't play well enough. He didn't get it done. But, like, I think this guy can still go somewhere. And we've seen it. Like, how many quarterbacks have come out of the Jets and the Giants and gone elsewhere and figured it out? Like, I think Daniel Jones is really going to use that and be a good backup elsewhere. And then somebody's going to get hurt and Daniel Jones is going to get another opportunity to play. And I think he's going to be better for it. But, like, just hearing his voice crack, talking about the team, and it's about the team, and kind of realizing, like, this is over. This is not my team anymore. Like, I'm here, but I'm preparing Tommy DeVito to play. Like, it's one thing last year when I'm helping Tommy and I physically can't go, but, like, I'm physically able to play, and they don't want me out there because of my contract. 888-808-1019. Mark out on Long Island on the Fan. Go for it, Mark.
Hey, Keith, big fan.
Thank you.
Just want to say a couple things. Number one, that was a great football game tonight in the snow. Loved it.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean, that's old school football. All right, the Steelers didn't come out on top, but great game.
Yeah, good with the Steelers. Good for the Browns.
I'm with you. My question is, did they sign Boyle to put Daniel Jones to the fourth QB so he can't play at all this season?
Yes, that's the only reason Tim Boyle shouldn't be on any NFL roster. Like, the only reason Tim Boyle is there is because they don't even want to get into a situation where they have to elevate Daniel Jones. Every quarterback, every player on the field is one play away from the next guy coming in. They have it set up where Daniel Jones, he was playing safety in practice on the scout team.
Like, so let me ask a question. Does that mean they're going to send him home, or?
I think that's going to be his decision. You know, I think now, we'll eventually get there. Like, I know when, like, now it's raining and it's cold. Like, are you showing up there when it's raining and cold to stand outside? Hell no. For what?
I got one more question. So did they cut him before the season's over, or are they going to spread the $22 million out over the 2 years?
No. He'll get paid for this year. He'll get cut in the offseason when the new league year is about to start. That's the whole thing with the injury thing. Like, the whole injury clause was like, if he got hurt this year, which that's another thing that no one's really talking about either.
I think that's why they pulled him out now.
That's exactly
hurt,
why, but like,
you get guaranteed money, right?
Football players, some of these football players are pissed because they're like, what if he stays healthy the rest of the year and leads us to some victories? You could still move on from him, right? Like, the injury clause is if he has like a season-ending injury where he's not able to pass a physical in March.
Right. Now, one more question. What do you think? Is DeVito going to do anything, or is DeVito just going to be DeVito? Like, you know, he might win a game or two.
I know I sound like a hater.
I'm a 51-year-old Giant fan, and I don't see it.
Okay, here's where I'm at with it. Two things.
Good.
I've been saying that the original is going to be better than the sequel. I called him a one-trick pony. The pop that he had last year when no one had any film on him, no one had ever really heard of him, no one had ever have, like, they started off a game plan where they weren't letting him throw the ball.
You're right.
But, like, he was able to take advantage of the Giants' defense playing so well and creating turnovers and giving them a short field and making some runs and making some throws. Some of those throws were bad, but guys made plays, and it was like, it was just one of those things in the NFL where, I don't know, when you underestimate a guy who's, you know, like, undersized and undrafted, you know, that he could surprise you. I don't think he's surprising anybody now. The second thing is, like, I don't think these guys are going to rally around him like they did last year. I think a lot of these guys know.
It doesn't sound like it. They're not happy with the decision.
The locker room is fractured, and it isn't just from this. Like, the reports about the Nick McCloud thing and how that went down, like, these guys are looking at Shane and Dable differently. And I don't see them inspired to Tommy Cutlets is saying, no more gimmicks or, you know, all that stuff, all the Italian stuff and the hand pitching. No, it's strictly football.
His agent.
Okay, but his agent is going to show up in the same costume and getup, and the cameras are going to go find him and his parents, and they're going to make it about that, and fans are going to wear their Tommy Cutlett shirts. I heard Jonathan Casillas today say, I'm coming into the stadium, pinching my hands, doing the Italian thing.
I heard that on the fan today, too. Absolutely.
Tommy DeVito can't shake that. He can't get rid of that.
So going forward, one more question. How do you think this ends up? Does Shane and Dable keep their jobs? Let's go there.
I think they do keep their jobs, and I think it's tied to two things. Yes, like, there's a mock draft out there that says you're going to get Shador Sanders. Tiki Barber was on today saying that you could trade for Trevor Lawrence. I don't think that's happening.
No, God, no. Oh, please.
No, and why would you want to trade? I have it in my notes. I'm gonna break down. Like, why would I will go into it now. But thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate you, man. Why would you want to trade for Trevor Lawrence? Why would you want to give up anything for Trevor Lawrence? What isn't this whole thing supposed to be Shane and Dable, right? To complete the Holy Trinity, they get their own quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is not your own quarterback. He's already been tainted by Jacksonville. He's injury prone. He's no. I don't want to hear he's young and there's like no. Go get Shador Sanders. And if you don't get Shador Sanders, get Cam Ward. 888-808-1019. Why would you give up something for Trevor Lawrence? No. Get a younger guy. Start from scratch, fresh, right? Didn't you just learn from inheriting Daniel Jones, who was injury prone, who somebody else drafted? I'm not trading. I'm not giving away anything for Trevor Lawrence. No. Get your own guy, because that's your last leg. That's the last leg you're standing on. The only reason Dable and Shane will continue is because there's a theory out there that, oh, they helped create Josh Allen, and that is evaporating. And there's a theory out there that you have to let them draft their own quarterback. 888-808-1019. So I do believe that also, you know, that's one reason why they'll be here, no matter what happens this season. But also there are reports that John Mara does not want to keep shuffling. He shuffled the deck every 2 years for 6 years. Now I think these guys might get 6 years. They might get another 3 years to draft their quarterback, develop him, and you should know in a year or two. But we'll see. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Avenel. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? What's going on, man? First time caller.
Thank you for making your first call to my show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know if I'm reading you wrong, or are you, like, defending that Daniel Jones shouldn't have been bent, or we shouldn't be at this situation right now?
No, hell no.
Because
hell no. You had to. Okay. It's business.
No, 100%. But I get all the people, we feel bad.
I don't feel bad. No, I said he's crying in the Ferrari, not the Toyota. That's basically me saying, how can I feel bad for your $108 million man? But I can relate to being a football player, and like it's not about money, and it's about camaraderie and team and wanting to go out there and lead the team, and that's been taken away from him, and he's healthy. Like, that is hard to deal with no matter how many dollars you have.
I got you, and like you, I play at the University of Maine. Played in the CAA. Well, the big whatever it was.
Were you up there with Will Warren?
Yeah, no, I was up there before that. I was up there. Stephen Cooper, Darren Stone. We were up there.
Okay,
that was 06. I'm a little older, but yeah, I mean, I played quarterback as well, and I understand that. But it's just like, it's about results, right? Especially at that position. And I wasn't one of those guys that was hating on Daniel Jones. You know, I was giving him a chance, and I went to a couple games, and I'm watching guys wide open. Like, he does nothing to make the Giants better. He hasn't done that. It's not like he lost every game and it was his fault.
Check me out, bro. Like, if he was actually playing better, this might have been prolonged. But they had every reason to go here because he wasn't getting it done, because they're 2-8, because it's a bye week. And, you know, something else I thought, I'm like, how did Tommy DeVito say that he found out 5 minutes before the world found out? Somebody should have whispered in his ear during the bye week, hey, man, start getting ready for Tampa.
And I'm not a big old Tommy DeVito. I'm not a big old Tommy DeVito. Here we go. Let's just war cry to everybody.
Hey, Tommy Cutlidge, one of us.
There you go. The Giants got to sell tickets. I get that. And it made sense because if Drew Lock played this weekend, if he'd have put his mouthpiece in wrong, the New Yorkers would have been booing. So it makes sense to do what they're doing right now with Tommy DeVito. They're going to get the old, let's go, the war cry and the rally hats on. But let's lose games and get Shador, please.
No matter what. Thanks for the call, Chris. Their offensive line is going to help them lose games. The locker room being fractured is going to help them lose games. The 11 guys on the other side of the football are going to compete against them and help them lose games. 888-808-1019. I just said Will Warren. Will Warren pitches for the Yankees. The young guy that came up made like 3 spot starts. Sports brain. Shout out to Warren Smith, who played up at Maine, who also played at Lacey High School down in the Shore Conference. I hate when I do that. That's right. That just asked him, were you up there with Will Warren? The pitcher from the Yankees? No. Warren Smith, who played quarterback at Maine and also played quarterback in my area at Lacey. 888-808-1019. I got to hit Warren Smith and be like, bro, I tried to give you a shout out on the Fan. I called you Will Warren. Just too many sports names in my head. But yeah, Daniel Jones, don't get me wrong. I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. But like, I have some empathy I don't feel bad for the guy because, like, of how much money he made. But, like, it literally today, as I even joked and called him Danny Dollars, QB4 Danny Dollars, he finessed $108 million. He didn't. His agents did. He wants to play. This is the NFL. It stands for not for long. He knows he might never be a starter in the NFL again. Like, he I'm sure, fell in love with the team and the franchise and the city. Like, I think back to, you know, him and Eli Manning partying in Hoboken. And this guy thinking, like, yo, this is my life now. Just 2 years ago, him winning a playoff game, right? Just 2 years ago, against the Colts, the fans chanting, Daniel Jones. Like, how quickly things change. The NFL, man, not for long. The NFL, if he was healthier, if he had Saquon with him, if he, like, who knows? Who knows? We'll never know. It's over. It's done. But it was tough to see that guy break down like that today. And like, I just feel like it's week 12. The national narrative is different than the local narrative. Like I said, they're roasting him on ESPN. And I'm like, yo, this is a guy whose contract got him into this situation. His contract obviously also got him all that money. But, like, if he had a different contract, we wouldn't be here. If the Giants picked up his rookie option, we wouldn't be here. The NFL. Bruce in Flushing on the Fan. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Keith, before I get to my giant points, wasn't it great to watch the football game tonight? This was old-time football.
I loved
Central
it.
Division battle with snow coming down. It was fantastic.
It was advertised as a nothing burger. It was advertised as, all, this game's going to suck. We're not sure what we're going to get from it. We got everything from it.
Yeah, this was a fun game to watch. A couple of giant points. I understand the thinking behind not firing the coach and general manager. But as a longtime Giants fan, I understand the philosophy. But I think in this case, especially if the Giants only win another game or two, these guys have shown, especially the general manager, has not impressed me. Number one, you could have signed Barkley. He's only making, I think, 2.8 or 3.8 this year.
They didn't want to. They didn't want to pay a running back that price, well, especially when they didn't draft at number two overall. It was a theoretical type of thing. It was a principle type of thing, which was stupid.
But the thing is, the man was the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah.
Instead of, this reminds me of analytics in baseball.
Yep.
And watching what you see in plain sight.
Yeah, it contradicts each other.
More to this team than the amount of money you were going to pay him.
Bruce, they didn't want to trade him. So, like, that's what I don't understand about this current, like, leadership of the Giants. When you came in with Daniel Jones, you knew he was injury prone. You didn't pick up his option. You brought in Tyrod Taylor in case you, like, you didn't rock with him. And then after one season where really he didn't throw that many touchdowns, he didn't really win that many games for you. It was a combination of him, Saquon, and Wink Martindale's defense. You give him that big-ass contract. You pay him market rate. Why don't you tell him to go test the market the same way you told Saquon to go test the market? And, like, you could have traded Saquon away at the deadline, but you didn't because you said, oh, it'll fracture the locker room. So what? You want to hold that locker room together so Tommy DeVito can go beat the Patriots, the Commanders, the Packers, and now you're drafting number six overall. You can't get Jaden Daniels. You draft a receiver for a dead man walking at quarterback. Make it make sense.
Second point, McLeod. Now, I'm not saying McLeod was Lombardi, to throw a name out of the past, but you mean to tell me if you didn't like him, you couldn't trade him at the trade deadline?
I mean, I don't know. You know?
I mean,
you can trade anybody.
Right. There were a lot worse defensive backs than McLeod was. I don't understand these decisions by a general manager, and that's why I think that I would not be upset if they clean house. So now you're going to tell me, well, Bruce, if you're clean house, who do you replace him with? As coach, I would bring in Vrabel.
There's so many options. They showed Vrabel tonight. And you know what? When I saw Vrabel reduced to like being a personnel and players coach just on the side, I'm like, this is a head coach. This is a leader of men. This is a guy that should be coaching one of these teams.
Yeah, Vrabel reminds me of Parcells when he was, you know, not when he was young because he's basically a veteran coach now. This guy reminds me a bit of Parcells. Teams play for him. You know,
he reminds me of Dan Campbell. Like Dan, a former player that is a player's coach, but also knows his stuff and will mix it up with these guys. Like Vrabel is the guy that's going to pick up the pad. He's going to get in the drill with you. He's going to put his hand in the dirt.
And Jones, to me, is a classic example of a guy who was burnt out and was gun-shy because he had no offensive line for 2 or 3 years. And that, again, you blame on a general manager. It took him 3 years to get a so-so offensive line. The reason why Jones is why he is today was the guy is gun-shy. The guy was so afraid of being hit after so many years.
And turning the
ball over.
He
wasn't the same quarterback.
Yep. They ruined him. And John Mara came out and said they did enough to ruin him. And so this is what you get. He regressed. Right?
Yeah.
Dable's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer. How come your quarterback isn't the better version of himself at this point? We can't say that he's afraid to get hurt because he'll run in the defensive lineman. But there is something about him as far as like being gun-shy, not stepping into throws confidently, and not making decisions quick enough. Like, He is a little like maybe there's some paralysis by analysis, and I think he's afraid. He knows he's a dead man walking. He watched them try to draft his replacement in Hard Knocks. He's like, I got to be perfect, and you can't play that way. You absolutely cannot play that way.
If I'm Mara, I definitely would step in and say, I know it's I said you were safe, but I said the same thing to Joe Judge, and look what happened to him. So I would Mara. I understand he's hesitant to do this, but I think he needs to clean house.
You know what I think about Mara? Like, when I saw Mara in Seattle and those Seattle fans were getting at him and he flashed the rings at him, I'm like, this is a guy with a lot of pride. And this is a guy that also, like Hal Steinbrenner says, I have ears. And I always bring this up on The Fan because I felt like this was the moment. That fan in Giant Stadium that yelled at him said, we need football people, not family. What did he do? He went out and got Shane and Dable. Okay, if the rest of the season the Giants lose out and they're complete laughing stocks, somebody else can come in here and draft a quarterback and start new. Then you start new with a new GM, with a new head coach and quarterback like the Jets are about to do.
Keith, always a pleasure.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. 888-808-1019. Talking Daniel Jones, New York Giants on The Fan. How does it always just like get back to this? How does it always get to like they're now they're talking about Odell Beckham in the boat party, like that'll never go away. Joe Judge's name has come up so many times. How does it always get back to this? When I was in high school, college, the Giants were a proud franchise. They still have that, but not in the last like 13 years. But I'm talking about when you talked about LT and Carl Banks, Phil Sims, when you really talked about the teams that won in 2007 and 2011, like you couldn't say anything to Giants fans in that 4 or 5 year window. Like, I remember watching those playoff runs. I remember what it was like, even going back to when I remember going to middle school in 2000 when the Giants were playing the Ravens and they're playing a Giant song over the loudspeaker at my middle school. Like, there was just so much more pride. I know John Mara can't sleep at night. I know he's losing sleep over the state of the franchise. And he's going to say, yes, I don't want to keep shuffling the deck. I don't want to keep changing coaches. But I know he keeps his ear to the streets, and I know he listens to people, and I know there's people that are going to tell him. We'll see. We'll see what Tommy DeVito does. We'll see how Brian Daboll coaches. We'll see how the players respond. They responded that day in Seattle when he flashed the rings. That was a great game. And I remember saying that game showed me Daboll can coach. I remember saying Daboll shouldn't sleep until he goes and gets his first win. He did that against Cleveland. He's I think he's a good coach X's and O's wise. I think he's got to figure it out in some other places. But they've got so many holes and so many things to figure out. And, like, we can't just think that, like, you know, as fans, yes, you're like, tank, Shador Sanders, Cam Ward. Nah, these guys are fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their jobs. Daniel Jones is brought almost to tears because he realizes the team being 2-8 and him being the quarterback of a 2-8 team and the contract that he earned, the team, what's best for the team, not just today, but for the team in the long term, is to move away from him, to not let him get hurt and trigger that clause where it takes money away from making the team better in the future. 888-808-1019. We'll continue on the Giants. I'll bring in a couple more thoughts and a couple more things. I also want to talk about the Buccaneers a little bit. I do want to have the conversation about Aaron Judge, MVP, him kind of blowing off the media availability after he did MLB Network, after he did SportsCenter, as well as him just bringing up Juan Soto's name, just had to do that. We'll talk about it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up at 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me about it. Don't go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back after this.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
And we're back. Quickly here, because this show is going to expire and there's plenty more to get to. I still want to have the Aaron Judge conversation about him winning two out of the last three MVPs. Him, you know, gushing about Juan Soto, just having to bring Juan Soto's name into the conversation. I don't know, read between the lines. Like, if that's a guy that you're talking to that's saying, yo, I'm out, bro, I'm taking the highest bid, there's no shot. You know, there's also a report out there about how, you know, the meeting in California with people saying, oh, why do the Yankees have to go to California? They can't meet him in New York? Oh, well, I guess during this season, Hal Steinbrenner and Juan Soto didn't have that much time to connect. The California meeting is where that happened, where their relationship actually face-to-face, there was more conversations. They got to know each other a little bit better, something like that. There's a little more confidence. Now, we'll get to the report about that. 888-808-1019. I've said enough about the Giants and Daniel Jones, but, like, it's just crazy, man. When you think about the curse of Eli Manning and Eli Manning going potentially to the Hall of Fame now. Like, think about how they did Eli, bro. Think about how they benched Eli, and people still to this day, someone called me yesterday, oh, Eli benched himself. You don't bench yourself. Eli just had respect for himself as a quarterback and as a football player, and you didn't want to be jerked around. If you don't want me to play the entire game, then play him. So here we are again, where the Giants are humiliating Daniel Jones. That's the guy that you picked 6th overall. That's the guy that you paid $40 million a year. Now he's been reduced to playing scout team safety. Now he's been reduced to being behind Tim Boyle. Now he's been reduced to, like, having a prepared statement to meet the media on Thursday of week 12. It's a bad look. And people around the league don't get it because they don't live with the Giants day by day. They're just roasting the Giants and saying, oh, they're tanking to get Shedeur Sanders. Another note on the Shedeur Sanders stuff. In this mock draft, they had the Giants giving up the number 3 overall pick, a 2nd and 3rd round in 2025, and a 2026 second round pick to move up to 1 where the Jaguars are, to get Shedeur Sanders. That's a hell of a haul. But I'd rather do that than trade for Trevor Lawrence. All right, back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Dennis is in Wayne, New Jersey, next on the Fan.
Hey, good show. Look, I don't know if this is relevant. I think the most important thing with Mara when they took on Jones was his character as a person. You know, I think that's the most, the skills were all second. And that's what the shame of it is, you know. I mean, he had, you know, Sims, he had Eli, guys with great character. So, that's really the shame of it is that
you're onto something with that. They're guys from the South, and they're guys that they thought in New York, you know, their personalities would play, they would fit. And so much of, like, Gettleman being in full bloom love is that, you know, people were calling Daniel Jones an Eli clone. Obviously not.
No. Character, maybe.
Yeah, and similar with just, like, their personality and maybe how they speak or whatever. Now Eli has completely come out of his shell. But, yeah, there was part of that, too, that they liked Daniel Jones the way he carried himself. But, I mean, I don't know. It never was going to work.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. That's a good point, right? Like, when you go back and you think about the scouting report and Daniel Jones coming out of the Senior Bowl and all that type of stuff, like I just think about how Todd McShay told everybody straight up, no, watch the film. He's a backup. Like, and he literally said, I feel for Giants fans because he projected this being a failure over the course of a few years. I don't think he was thinking that Daniel Jones was going to see a $40 million a year second contract. Jay is in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Jay? Jay, what's up? You got it. You're alive. All right, Jay is on hold. Whenever Jay comes back to us, we'll bring him in. Let's go to Lou in Astoria.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
There we go. I'm good. What's up, Lou?
Hello.
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me?
All right, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I'm taking it the other way around. Just an injury prone. Okay. Quarterbacks for the Jets and Giants. They all get hurt. Mike White, Zach Wilson, Aaron Judge, Danny Dimes. It's because the leadership that we have in both teams, the coaching, the offensive line, they don't protect this guy. Look what Barkley plays for 2 years without getting hurt. It's something to be saved about what's going on with our coaching staff, okay?
But football. Guys are going to get hurt. There's no way to coach you out of getting hurt.
I understand that, but Daniel Jones has to use his legs to be productive because he never get no protection, okay? I mean,
yeah, but some of those are design runs. Some of those are down. Now, that's coaching.
Yeah,
some of those are called plays, and also some of that is coaching to say, hey, first read, second read, not there, take off. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this giant coach, he abused Daniel Jones. That's the reason why he's still being the coach that 2 years ago when they won and they won the playoff game and everything else, because Daniel Jones was being used. It was running like there's no tomorrow. I mean, injury prone, I can understand that, but you know, all these guys get hurt. Mike White got hurt. It doesn't matter who you mention with the Jets. This team, the leadership. I like to see Bill Belichick. I like to see better coaching. And then you tell me that it's the quarterback.
Thanks for the call, Lou. Heard you. I just disagree. Bill Belichick's not coming through. He might go to Jacksonville. They might do the deal. They might make a trade, Giants and Jacksonville. But there's no coaching. So, like, with the Daniel Jones injuries, like, some of them were non-contact. Some of them, like, it wasn't like Daniel Jones' injuries came from him getting tackled on running plays. And it wasn't like he was just beat up and battered and abused. It was part of his game. And you know what? There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that's part of their game. Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen. Hell, Bo Nix is running. Kyler Murray runs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need a mobile quarterback. Pat Mahomes will take off. I don't know. I can't say that, like, it's the coach's fault because they didn't. No, they designed plays for him to run, and I clearly have seen him play where he's not sitting there trying to make plays or extend the play to throw the ball downfield. He's taking off, and, like, I think that's in his head, and I think that might have been told to him. Hey, don't turn the ball over. right? As you see so many of these quarterbacks try to extend plays, and yes, it can turn the ball over, but also it can make a huge play, a highlight play. You rarely see that with Daniel Jones because I think it might have been taught to him in the film room. Hey, this is your first read. This is your second read. If neither are there, you don't like it. You're a big body dude. You've got some legs, Vanilla Vic. Go get what you can get. Let's go back to Jay in Brooklyn. Jay, you ready now?
What's up, Keith? Love your show.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to ask you a question. When Brian Daboll is the offensive corner for the Bills, right? Made Josh Allen a good quarterback, right?
That's what they say.
Well, now, he's with the Giants. He's a head coach, and he's calling the plays. Do you think he could do both? I'm saying when he's just focusing on the quarterback, when he was with the Bills, he did good. Like, now, the first year, Jones is doing good.
Why is he calling the plays? Let's backtrack. Why is he calling the plays? Mike Kafka was calling the plays at one point. He took over that responsibility. Head coach, he took that. He took the reins of that.
I know, but the first year he was doing good with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones did good the first year.
He wasn't calling the plays. Mike Kafka was. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. That do you think he could do both? He's doing the head coach. He's focusing on a lot. He should just focus on the quarterback.
I think he thinks he can do both. It hasn't been successful, but I think he feels like the team is best suited with him calling the plays on the ground and not Kafka up top. Thanks for the call, Jay. And also going back to 2018, 2021 with Josh Allen. Sure, he helped Josh Allen develop, but Josh Allen is a beast. Like, Josh Allen is Josh Allen. He's different. And it doesn't matter if it's Brian Daboll, if it's Ken Dorsey, if it's, what's the guy, Joe Thomas? The guy that was not Joe Thomas. I'm terrible. Joe Thomas used to be the offensive lineman for Joe Brady. I know way too many sports names. Joe Brady is who I was thinking of. Joe Brady, who was with LSU, who went to New Orleans. I think Joe Brady might have been a passing game coordinator with the Panthers. Yes. And then the Buffalo Bills. And he went from being the Buffalo Bills quarterback coach to interim offensive coordinator to now currently the offensive coordinator, where Josh Allen, he can make it happen with anybody on the field. I can't give the credit for Josh Allen being Josh Allen to Brian Daboll. 888-808-1019. I hear it so much. Well, he made Josh Allen. Well, he did this with Josh Allen. Didn't do it with Daniel Jones. How come you didn't do it with Daniel Jones? That's what he was billed as. That's what everybody kept saying. Oh, he's going to turn Josh Allen into the next Daniel Jones. No. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. There's only one Josh Allen. There's only one player to come out of Wyoming. Him. Like, I can't put that on coaching. I also can't put injuries on coaching. I also can't say that, like, you know, Daniel Jones, I've watched Daniel Jones play. There's something about him missing windows. There's something about his timing and his decision-making. You've seen it. You guys watch. He has open receivers. His timing is off. Some of that is coaching as far as mechanics and fundamentals and footwork. But I think it's just not being confident. You can't play quarterback if you're not confident. If you don't think you're the baddest dude on the field, you're not gonna be. It's the hardest position in sports. It's the hardest position to play. You got to know what everybody on your side of the ball is doing. You got to know what the defense is going to do when they react to what your side of the ball is doing. And you have to deliver the ball, distribute the pill, knowing that somebody is coming, multiple guys are coming to take your head off. And if you're trying to process all of that with the thought in the back of your mind that these guys are going to bench me, that these guys are going to end me so that they don't trigger that clause in my contract that my agent set up for me to make more money in the event, because going back and forth with these guys that never believed in me, this is how they set up my contract. You know, like, all of these things are compounded. Avery out in St. Louis on the Fan. How you doing, kid?
Hey, Keith. Long time no talk. How are you?
I'm good, man. How's school?
It's all good. It's all good. Keep me busy. with regards to what that last caller just said about Brian Daboll, I want to add something that is important too, which is that, you know, about taking over offensive coordinator duties and being the head coach, I think that it's not the focus should kind of almost be less on how that impacts the quarterback because of the points you mentioned, and more on how it impacts the locker room. And I don't want this to be the main point we focus on, but I just wanted to bring it up because it was just mentioned, which is that I don't even think it's something that needs to change or should be focused on at all. But if there is hostility, like we saw with the Martindale situation, Wink Martindale, and we saw that, I think that there was something that came out that said Kafka wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Like there was something in that locker room with how Brian Daboll was running his staff that wasn't working.
Yes. He's a tyrant.
And you can't
have that. I think he yells and he's disrespectful to guys. I think he walks around with this air of like, I'm head ball coach. And like, you haven't really earned that, but you won coach of the year your first year. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, do as I say, peasants. You're all under my thing. And like, Wink Martindale is a 60-some-year-old guy who's been around the block a few times. He wasn't going for it.
Right.
You know, and Kafka had interest. Right. I think the Seahawks were interested in Kafka, where he could have been gone, but he stuck around. I bet you he's not here next year. I bet you he goes elsewhere.
At the same time, who, Gable?
No, Mike Kafka.
Oh. No, wait, Kafka's not with the Giants anymore.
Is he? Is he gone?
Yeah, he's been gone.
I was going to say, let me look that up, because I thought he was still with the Giants. Where did he take a job?
I'm not sure. I think I might have heard Seattle, too, but... I don't know.
No, he's still with the Giants. I remember he was interviewing with Seattle, I think, and he came back. Yeah, he's still.
Oh, but he didn't take it.
He's an offensive coordinator. He's still up there. He doesn't have the play calling duties. But he's still with the Giants, and I think they were interested in him in Seattle and somewhere else. I remember there was like rumblings of that, like Kafka. You know, at the end of the season, it's okay.
I misread it then.
It's all good. We got Google for that. I'm always double checking.
No, I was going to add also though, just back to the quarterback situation. You know, we've been talking about tanking and how that might be the best thing for this Giants team. But I know that you mentioned something about how you think that might not be the best play. Now, I agree that the Giants need to find some spirit and they need to do something to change the quarterback situation, and that is what they're doing right now. But you don't think DeVito is the future starting quarterback of the Giants, do you?
for the near future,
Tommy Lugauer?
Positive Tommy, I don't know. Tommy's tweaking, bro. Shout out to Tommy. He has hit another dimension of takes. He's talking about splitting Juan Soto. He's talking about Tommy DeVito being the next Tom Brady. I'm like, goodness, Tommy. I don't know what happened. Like, all the positivity's got to your head, bro. You're out there. I'm positive that you've lost it.
I don't know.
I honestly don't think that Tommy DeVito is going to have success here. I think he's going to be mid. Like I think you're going to hear boos Sunday. I think when he struggles and the offense struggles. And like, I just don't think he's better than Daniel Jones. So if Daniel Jones wasn't getting it done, I know he's going to go out there and he's not going to have any fear. I know he's going to let it rip, but like that could turn into interceptions. That could turn into fumbles. That can turn into sacks, because that's what he did last year. He did get sacked a lot. Like he did turn the ball over. And the defense this year is giving up like a lot of yards rushing. A lot of like you're about to face Mike Evans and Bucky Irving. I don't know. I'm not seeing it, yo. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Giants come out and put up 30 points and they beat the Buccaneers 30-20 and Tommy DeVito's got 3 touchdowns.
Let me just ask you though, like what do you think would be the best situation for them for quarterback? Like what they should do right now? Is it move up for a draft pick? Is it get Shedeur Sanders? I mean, what do you think it is? That's my question for you, Keith.
I'll take it from here. Thanks for the call, Avery. I've been saying it since last year. It's a tank. Tank Dell, Tank Bigsby, Gervonta, Tank Davis. You have to tank. They should have tanked the right way last year, and maybe Jaden Daniels is here. Because Tankathon at this time last year had Jaden Daniels going to the New York Giants. He's been in the building. Remember in Hard Knocks? Brian Daboll tried to press him. You want to be here? He's like, what do you mean? Do you want to be here? Do you want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants? And Jaden Daniels, he's like, what is this guy on? I'm going to Washington. Like, I'm going to be a commander. All right, let's switch it up for a second. Let's go to Jack and Wyckoff on the fan. What's up, Jack?
What's up, Keith? How's it going?
You know, it's going. I'm just trying to, you know, switch the subject a little bit as we lead into the 1 o'clock hour. Go for it.
Yeah, so I started listening to your show around 12:30, and I haven't been on social media, so I don't know what the Aaron Judge vibe is like. But my initial reaction is that he wins, and I don't really care. And it kind of made me sad that the guy's won two MVPs. He has this incredible regular season, and I'm not moved. I'm not excited that he won, and I'm happy for him. But
well, tell us why.
I don't really have any emotion.
Tell us why you feel that way.
Just because the way he performed in the postseason, it just feels like it almost doesn't matter. And I want it to matter. I'm really rooting for him, and I want him to win. But it's just like sad that I don't feel moved by him winning the MVP.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way at all or not?
Nah. And I'll take it from here. Thanks for the call, Jack. And that's what I was saying in my open, get over it. They lost. Somebody loses the World Series every single year. Get over it. There's still plenty more years of Aaron Judge being the captain and winning MVPs. I hope he stacks MVPs. And that's what I was saying, that like you might feel some type of way about this MVP, but when we look back on it and then they say, five-time MVP Aaron Judge, and you're at the stadium with your kids in 10 years. I get it. He dropped the pop-up, bro. It happened. It wasn't supposed to happen. It happened. I get it. He struggled in every postseason, but you know what? I have in my heart that he did hit that homer in game five, that he did start to shake it off. He was coming. We'll never know. That I thought, oh, they woke up the sleeping giant, like Joe Davis said, and he might go to Dodger Stadium and mash us to a World Series victory, game six, game seven. It never happened. I am not holding that against that man. That guy has given us too many good times. I have seen that guy hit too many moonshots in that stadium. I'm rocking with Aaron Judge. When people were talking about showing up to the stadium to boo Aaron Judge, I'm like, that's just for internet. Poppycock. Rubbish. You guys aren't doing that. He dropped the pop-up in the section I'm in. They're chanting MVP. I'm looking at them like, are y'all that drunk? You're not chanting MVP for an error. But yeah, we'll talk more about the MVP. And we'll still talk Daniel Jones and the Giants. It's just depressing. There's nothing good to report about the situation. Anyone celebrating Tommy Cutlets, like, that's going to evaporate in the first quarter of the game. But I want you to hear Aaron Judge talk about Juan Soto. So during the break, me and Fleegs will work on getting that clip. And for the Yankee fans that are like, oh, whatever, this is hollow now. It's like, oh, is that how you're going to feel all regular season next year? When Judge is going off for two homer games? Or are you going to feel like, oh, whatever, he dropped the pop-up, he sucks in the postseason, none of this matters. Get over it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan. I'll be right back.